If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine love and grace of the One Beloved. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christ. Our seminar topic today is the value of prayer. What happens when we pray? And stopping the world and its ongoing drama. So, if you're ready, take a deep breath. And call yourself forward. Feel the anointing pouring down from the top of your head all the way through your body. And realize that you are a conduit, an importer of a new dispensation right down through your physical body. You touch the earth with a holy purpose. You are the means and the transduction vehicles through which the Divine Spirit brings transformation into this place that you find yourself in, time-space, within the world dream, within the gerbil wheel scenarios. And you are the few. Most people tonight are probably watching something else that's taking place on our television tonight. But you're not. Why? Why are you listening? Because you have a greater interest in what we are bringing forward, which is of a spiritual nature, than what is going on in the ongoing drama of the world. Which, if you would exchange the newspaper of, say, 50 years ago with the one today, or even one 100 years ago with the one today, you would see that it's the same drama repeating again and again. Why is that? Simply because the world is the place of cause and effect. For every cause, there's an effect. For every effect, there is again a cause set into motion, and on and on and on. And it doesn't seem to shift much. Why is that? Because people get entrained in the drama, and they totally forget that they have nothing to do whatsoever with it. That they are not in the drama. The drama is in their mind. They are not in the world. The world is in their mind. They are not in anything that is appearing in the world. And thus, of course, they believe they are. And then, of course, they are. Because it's done unto you as you believe. So what is prayer? Let me ask you. What is the silent prayer of your heart? Your heart is always praying. It's not the lips that pray, nor the mind. Your heart. So let's sing a silent or an audible, whichever you choose, loving song to God with devotion, which is simply the hue. And the hue reflects that highest aspect of God, which is the silent witness and the silent lover that watches you with eternal love, because you are a ray, an emanation from that divine source, just like a ray of sunlight. You are not separate. You are the very radiation of God's heart and God's love into this world. So as we chant the hue, and we'll do it three times, let's put our heart and our heart's prayer and our love and send it forth as a baptism and a bestowal of grace upon America, upon the world, upon all beings on this planet. Let's remind them that they are loved, they are beloved, and they are love. In highest truth, they are only the love of God, whether they're awake or asleep, or eyebrow deep in the mud and slime. Nevertheless, they are pure and holy in the deepest core of their essence. So we take a deep breath and we'll chant together. Ready? You let's chant Shanti also three times, which is the very vibration of peace in Sanskrit. Deep breath. Shanti. Peace of God is always present beneath the surface agitations of the mind. Allow your consciousness to sink deep into that inner peace and rest in God. That is the only place to rest. You will not find rest anywhere else but by diving deep beneath the agitated waves of outer happenings, surface worries and agitations, but diving deep within the self. You come to rest in God. God is within you, beating your heart, giving you the breath that sustains your physical life, giving you the substance of being in eternity, that is the existence you share forever as an immortal part of the Creator. Find respite within that. Daily dive into that place of peace. It never leaves you. It just gets obscured briefly when you pay more attention to the waves than you do the peace of God. Now you can stop the world and exit its ongoing drama any time you wish. you allow the world to be. Because it, like all things, like you and I and everyone, has a purpose. And the world has the purpose of healing those who have temporarily forgotten their divine sonship and oneness with the Father, Mother, God. Temporarily, they've forgotten, lost sight of it, become fascinated and entrained in the drama. So if you pay attention when you're in that deep place, you'll notice there's a silent prayer that your heart is singing all the time. It's your prayer. I can't begin to tell you what it is. And your heart will reveal it to you if you pay attention and dive deep. Beneath your outer form and current personality and role, there's an ancient, ancient knower and lover and creative agent of God. Tonight, or today, whenever you choose to listen to this seminar, each seminar is another gentle caress of awakening. The encodements that ride through the voice of this instrument that is speaking gently encourages the blossoming of the reality that you share with your divine creator eternally, that nothing in this world can touch. Nothing in this world has any way of reaching and affecting you. Nothing. Nothing in this world has the power to make you sad or ill or weak or lacking in any way. They're all worthless thoughts that the conditioning of the world and its falsehoods has led you to believe. But the only thing that is real is that which changes not, and that's your eternal holiness that is indistinguishable from that of God's. So true prayer is the supplication to awaken in the fullness of one's being. There is a desire so deep embedded within our initial awakening, let's say in this lifetime, to being in a physical body, in a world that seems to be a psychotic ego on steroids. And that ancient prayer sent us into this incarnation as a bearer of light because something evoked the gift that we knew we could bring to this world. It's a gift placed in our hands by the divine creator. And we hold it as precious treasure. And a great, great longing that impels us. It's silent. It's behind every motivation, every inclination. There's this pushing. Because you have a gift that you need to give, that you have to give, that you must give. It's the very driving purpose of your most sacred heart. And so when you're in that silent place, communing with the presence within, ask the heart that knows, what is it that you long with all your heart to give? What is the treasure that if you had only 10 seconds of life left, what would burst forth from your heart, your lips, your innermost being as the gift? And though it may manifest in many, many different outer forms, your true gift is your precious imprint of divine love, divine unique essence, which when realized and fully anchored to the physical instrument in conscious awareness, becomes the greatest gift that only you could give. Because only you have that particular imprint. Although the snowflakes of souls are all made of the self-same, using a metaphor, snow, each snowflake is unique. And that would be your unique impress of spirit. You will find, as you attune to the silent prayer of your heart, as you attune to the precious gift that is being birthed through you into this world, that it is a quality of consciousness. It's not a thing or a doing. It's a realized state of your wholeness and holiness, fully acknowledged, anchored, and realized in your conscious mind, and finding its unique way of expression to your physical instrument. The body is like a deep diving suit that you need so your spirit can show up in the density of a material world and universe. But it has no other function. It causes you to be able to show up consistently in more or less the same appearance, although it changes through the years, which means it's temporary because it changes. But it's simply a costume, one of many, that you've worn as a server of light. So prayer is an ongoing state in which you are always participating in the divine presence. You take it with you. Oh, perhaps you start with a prayer at certain times of the day. Or perhaps you pray when you go to temple or the church or the mosque or wherever. But genuine prayer is a heart constantly bestowing its love to to its creator and flowing the love of the creator throughout creation. It's ongoing. It never ceases. And it leads you into what has been called in Sanskrit Bhava Samadhi, which is where you become one in the mood of such divine adoration and love that sometimes the body trembles, hot tears pour down the cheeks, and to say the name of God even one time, you can barely utter it. Every fiber of your being erupts in a fiery love so intense. You can only stay in that silence, which says everything. Everything. That is when you worship God in spirit and in truth. And the fiery, holy Shekinah of fire that pours through your auric field looks like white flames. It purifies space. It saves countless beings entrapped in dense nightmares. The holy light pouring through your divine effulgence, the love, the adoration of direct presence, dwelling in the direct presence, bestows multidimensionally into time and space and transcending time and space. For at that moment, you have become the way, the truth, and the life. The same that Jesus the Christ manifested. For that was the state of love in which he dwelt. That is true prayer. It's no longer a concern with a self or a supplication for anything in this world or for the separated self. You have become, in fact, a living oblation, a living chalice of holy fire. That is the greatest gift. Those states come unexpectedly, very often unsought, because again, when you seek something, you're pushing it away. You're saying, I'm not that, I don't have that. You're praying for that which you've already had all along. No, you don't get it that way. You receive it by letting go of every vestige of control, of trying to make anything happen, trying to make anything different than it already is manifesting. You totally stop the world and deeply drop into the silence of peace within you. There's no mind, so there's no thoughts. And where there's no thoughts of the world does not exist for you. Only when you think of something do you import it into your reality. When you drop below the awareness of the outer no longer exists for you. Just as when you go to sleep at night, You don't give a single thought about leaving the world. You simply drop everything and go to sleep. And so the world does not exist for you. However, if you've closely identified with the happenings of the day, you will then import some of that into your dream when you're sleeping. But when you move into the awareness of the soul, of the self, of the Atma, the dreams end. And you go into a state where you live, move, and have your being in the secret place of the Most High. Great saints, rishis, and mystics are in the world, but they're not of the world at all. They live in the presence and peace of God. They live in that bhava samadhi, filled with divine adoration, and they don't see anything the same way. They see everything as a manifestation of the beloved. But there's a deeper state in which you realize you are the beloved and all sense of difference and separation and otherness falls away. But the strangest thing in the world is you're the last to know it. To know it, you see, you'd have to be separate from it. So the reference points for otherness fall away too. And then you've merged with God. You've become one with God. And that is something that comes as a gift of cumulative lives in which your heart has communed with God, supplicating God, how may I serve you, my Lord? Where would you have me go? To whom would you have me speak? What words would you have me say? Lead me, Lord. Your will is my only will. Do with me as you wish. That is the threshold to that state of deeper merger. You've lived your life. You've indulged your senses. You've had all of these different experiences. You've worn the coats of flesh of all the colors and cultures and continents. You've prayed the scriptures of every world faith and none. You've been the sinner. You've been the saint. You've been the teacher. You've been the lost. You've played all the roles. And now, you're no longer enchanted with any of it. Now you're ready to merge with the all. Not everyone is called. But those of you who happen to be listening tonight, or today, whenever, are being called by this very transmission. There's only a few at any given point in the time-space continuum who are being called for the marriage of the bridegroom and the lamb, which should be the divine seeker, was coming under the mantle and protection of the Good Shepherd. So we are the pure lambs of God that come at the beck and call of our shepherd, which is always the one beloved, the one Lord, who will take countless names and forms and aspects to please every ardent heart. But you're called now to come apart from the world and its ongoing drama, although you may still have a time and a season in which you are in the world. But no longer are you alone in the experiencing of the world, because you're aware of the beloved that walks with you, that is shepherding you and guiding you. And you cannot get lost, because if you wander off, that one that is your eternal lover will find you and bring you safely home. It is the destiny of every single soul to find its way home. Some are called directly at this time by the master teacher that appears in your life, or the series of master teachers. Some of you have been called by the Lord Satya Sai Baba, the avatar. Some of you have been called by the Lord Jesus, or by the Divine Mother. These are mere forms that your devotion has called forth to be your way shower. Your own devotion is what causes the formless love of God to take the form of Sai Baba or Jesus or Krishna or the mystical traveler or the Mahanta or whomever is your divine ideal. But know it is the self-same beloved simply coming to you in a form that is most pleasing to you. So it matters not. But when you have been directly called and you have said yes, how do you do that? You find yourself coming under the authority of that lineage of spirit. You find yourself bringing your life into order and into alignment with that spiritual flow of teaching. You become faithful to obeying that spiritual lineage of teaching. You do the prescribed spiritual exercises faithfully, year after year, day in, day out, with as much faithfulness as the average person accords to the 3 meals a day that many people eat. In fact, you would rather miss those meals than miss your time with God. So one time, we asked Sai Baba in an interview, if God is doing everything through us, and only God is real, and God is causing all things to happen as they must, why do we have to pray? What's the value of prayer? And Sai Baba said that it is the duty, the dharma of man, to pray. That every person, regardless if they're on a spiritual path or not, needs to spend a certain amount of time in prayer. But it's God's dharma and duty to respond to that prayer. And bear in mind, you cannot possibly send up a prayer to God that you're not heard and not responded to immediately. Now, maybe you've asked for something that you have not prepared a place to receive within yourself. So if that prayer were answered right now, it might burn you to a crispy critter. You have to build up a stamina within yourself to receive the living fire of the living God into your physical body. What causes a person to go into bhava samadhi, this divine adoration in which you're rendered silent as an oblation of holy Shekinah fire, is lifetimes of ardent love of God and selfless service to humanity. It's the cumulative effect of life after life after life, seeking God. So to build up to that state where you could host that greatest gift, conscious Godhood, through your physical vehicle, and still remain conscious and alive in the body, is to use your life and your daily experiences like a gymnasium to build in the fortitude necessary to host those divine energies of the Holy Spirit. So that's why you start where you are. You start where you are at the level that to you is the reality. But you don't stop. You keep going deeper. And you pray for grace. You ask for grace. Because only God's grace can complete you, can bring you to full union and awakening and divine merger. So what happens when you pray? This is very important. What happens when you ask for the light and you pray is that all of the divine spiritual beings that foster and love and supervise humanity, they look to see what parallel probable reality, what other possibility could be offered to you that was not available to you before you asked. Some people just go through life through the cause and effect, the karma dramas. It's a unconscious, automatic cause and effect. What you sow, you reap. Over and over and over. And really, aside from God's grace and some tremendous event that causes you to awaken, usually a catastrophic one, you'll continue repeating cause and effect, cause and effect, cause and effect. And that's the wheel of karma and reincarnation. And that's why the Christ action comes in as the grace that saves you from having to repeat and be a slave of the law. You're set free. You're set on a higher path. The groove you were on, the needle, using a metaphor of the old gramophone, the needle is lifted off and put in a new groove. you've opted for a new level of experience that was not available to you before you asked in prayer for assistance or light or grace. Or by your good works and your merit and your accumulated light units from many, many lifetimes of spiritual endeavor and service and loving God and humanity, you simply earn a downflow of grace into your life. So grace is not limited. Prayer is not limited. And you're not limited. And you need to ask what you want of God. You need to ask it. Jesus said to his apostles, up until now you've not received from me, because up to now you've not asked anything of me. But whatsoever you ask of the Father, believing, you will receive. Whatsoever you ask of the Father, believing, you will receive. So how important it is to ask, but not only for yourself. Intercession is asking on behalf of another. It's standing in the gap for those who have no idea of how to bridge that sense of separation that they feel between themselves and God. Intercessory prayer is very important. Standing in the gap, saying the prayers that others would say if they were more awake, if they knew how to pray, if they had the resources that you have as a spiritually trained light worker. If they had any of that, they would know how to ask, but they don't. So you ask on their behalf. It's important that you stand in the gap at this time for humanity. Humanity is in the valley of decision. It's like a little lost lamb, bleating piteously in the brambles of illusion. It doesn't know whether God even exists. There is so much cynicism and doubt and disbelief and agnosticism and atheism. It's like the deadliest, most infectious disease the mind can suffer from. Mental illness at its worst. What could be more desperate and horrid than not knowing God? How can people survive? I have no idea. How can they survive without an active, personal, dynamic, loving, intimate relationship with the beloved? Without finding that deep well of peace deep down inside themselves, that portable paradise that is always present. It's the kingdom of heaven, Jesus said, that was within us. We're walking around as living tabernacles of the Most High. But most are so fascinated with what's going on in the world. They're so excited to find out what's happening in the lives of other people, sports figures, movie stars, politicians, the news, that they keep recreating the world that goes on and on and on, and waste their life and their opportunity. This is not the time for everyone to awaken, because if everyone did, the world drama would stop, and it has a purpose. It's a gymnasium for consciousness to try and experiment and experience everything and finally awaken and transcend it all. But for those of you that listen consistently to what we share each week, it's your time to stop the world and exit the drama. And though you may still be in the world, you will see it through the eyes of the beloved. You will see all of the whining and complaining and blaming and projecting as simply cries for help, for healing, for love, for understanding, for compassion, for those that have the spiritual seership to look beyond the outer form and the behavior of the outer form to the Holy Son of God that lives within each one of us. The soul is the collective Messiah. The soul is the kingdom of heaven when it operates through the physical vehicle. And that's all we're here to do, is to lead inside out lives where we turn ourselves inside out, and what is in the innermost core of the heart and being is what is presented outwardly in the world, so that by seeing you, people realize that there is God. There is God. There is goodness. There is holiness. There is purity. Not head off in some convent or cloistered order, but in the marketplace, in the schools, in the factories and businesses, walking through the big cities of the world. And that's you, turned inside out. And that example that you live, of the beloved, awake, aware, grounded, living practical, mystical lives that are transcendental and yet very, very grounded here and now. You are the teaching, louder than all the preaching and ranting and raving. And sometimes you don't say a single word, because it's not your job, really, to coerce people to follow the spiritual path. You might have noticed they're not interested. Only the people that are marked and called at this particular time are interested, and if they're interested, they're already finding their way to feed themselves the soul food they need. So realize, the members of your family may have many, many, many more lifetimes to get to the place that you are. So you can't convert them. You can't coerce them. As the old saying goes, you can't take a horse to a water trough that's not thirsty and make it drink. And you can't drag the unwilling soul to heaven. So, you may try to pull someone into the elevator behind you that's going up to the top floor, but if their destination is the ground floor, they're going to get mauled in the process. So be the light, be the influence, be the way shower. Better still, live as the Christ. Be the Christ. every soul has the potential of Christhood. Exercise yours. And in that way, those that are ready will get inspired. That fire that emanates from your aura will ignite and spark them. And then if they ask you questions, you can answer them. A lot of people come into my home and they never notice pictures of Sai Baba or Jesus or the wonderful spiritual books I have. Our living room looks very much like a library. It's lined by bookcases and wonderful books. But a young man came in with another person that's come and gone for a couple years, never noticed any of that. And the first thing he noticed was a picture of Sai Baba. And it said, "Be like the bee, ever seeking the divine nectar." And he read it. I mean, he was in the house like 2 seconds. His eyes went right to Sai Baba's picture. He read the caption and he said, "Who is that?" And I said, "Oh, that's Sai Baba. He's a divine avatar." Interesting, I described him as an avatar. The man turned out to be a Christian. And I'm sure he had no idea what an avatar is. Today we think an avatar is a fictitious figure on, on the social media sites. But an avatar is actually the descent of the divine into a human form that's fully awake and has come to awaken the dreamers. It's a divine insert of reality into the corporate illusion. But like Jesus the Christ, it's one who comes into the dream but stays awake and stays connected consciously to Source. And then I told you the time that I was waiting for a bus in Santa Barbara back in the early 70s. And I had on a ring that Sai Baba had materialized, a portrait of himself in the center of the ring. Not a very large one. I was sitting waiting for the bus, and a young woman came running up just as the bus stopped and put her finger directly on the little thing on my ring, the little portrait on my ring. Said, "Who is that?" And I had seconds to answer, and I said, "That's Satya Sai Baba. He's God." All I had to say. But she put her finger right on that materialized enamel portrait of Sai Baba. How she could see it from the distance in which she was approaching me, I will never know. But Sai Baba said that no one can even hear his name pronounced unless it's his will. No one can come to him unless he calls them. No one can have a dream of him unless you merit it and it's his will. And so, that's how you're called. And only those that are called by him can serve him. He will not use everyone. I'm talking about Sai Baba in this particular avataric form. So he said that those that come to him at this time are already starting to awaken from the dream. And through countless lifetimes, they have earned the right to be given the opportunity for final liberation from further birth and death, or the birth and death disease, as he calls it. So what's born into the world of form has to die to the world of form to be born again of spirit. Now that has many meanings, which you can contemplate if you so choose. But there are many mysteries to be understood. And the whole process of dreaming, who is the dreamer, how do dreams arise, and what is birth, and what is death? Actually, spiritually speaking, the reverse is true, that we die to spirit to be born in a physical body. And when we die in the physical body, we are born to spirit. But when we have awakened beyond the body, beyond the world, beyond the dream, we are born into eternal life. And we've stopped the world. We've exited the ongoing drama. For we have learned all that the polarity, the law of polarity and the law of duality and the law of cause and effect can teach us. And there's no further need for us to be here. But be aware that human birth is extremely precious. And according to Sai Baba, the physical earth that you and I right now have a physical body upon is the only place in all of the cosmos that we can consciously return to Godhead, that we can consciously realize our oneness with God. No other. Sai Baba said, of all the beings throughout all of the orbs, the planets, the suns, and everything, there's beings everywhere. But only the human being can consciously return to God. The rest kind of flow unconsciously to God, but they're not awake and self-aware in that. So that is what is so valuable about our life here. And while we have a mind that functions well, we have a physical body, we have to use them to realize who we are, to realize our divinity, and to draw as near and dear as we possibly can to the Beloved through prayer, through love, through dedicating all of our actions to the Lord, allowing Him to be the sole operator through the physical instrument, realizing that God is in everything you see, because God is in your mind and is looking through your eyes. So that is why God is in everything you see, because God is the light by which you see. And when you're seeing in the light of higher consciousness, higher awareness, you are seeing through the eyes of God. When you hear in the center of your head, through the third ear, if you want to call it that, you are listening as God. So be aware that the light, what you see, and the sound, what you hear, is God. Everything you see in the outer world is a manifestation of the self-same divine light. Every sound you hear within and without is but an echo of the divine voice. So you see the light, you hear the sound, and you love with the love of the beloved that pours through you, and you're home in God. You're in God, but this time you're aware you're in God. So open your eyes and look around and know that God is in everything you see, because God is the light by which you see. And everything, when it's looked at under a very, very powerful microscope, is seen to be smaller and smaller and smaller particles until you realize that everything is simply light. There is no matter, in truth. There's only light. There's only light. There's only God. And you are that forever and ever. And that's all you need to be, to know, to realize. You are the living love, the divine light and sound, invisible form. Come to import reality into a world of sleepers, dreamers, and egos run amok and caught in the labyrinth of the mind. So that's the value of prayer. And what happens when you pray and stopping the world and its ongoing drama? I trust this has been of benefit to you this evening. And as simply a conduit of God's love, I bless each one of you in His name and in all of our names, which is also His name. Be blessed. Be the blessing. And may all life be blessed through you. For your holiness truly is the light of heaven. Let's go out chanting. Very nice, Anai Hu. Deep breath.
Anai Hu.
I bow before the glory of each one of you, my Lord and my God. Namaste.